As our text for the day is from that gospel lesson we read. When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Dear friends in Christ, kings are troublesome. They're a troublesome sort of people. I mean, think about it. They demand with their laws. They insist on obedience. They reward a friend and punish the enemy. They're a blessing to a people, or they're a curse to the people. The rule of the king is kind of like the hands of a potter. It molds and shapes the people of the land for the good or for the bad. So the power of kings gives shape to the lives of their subjects. Well, with all of these possibilities, with either for good or for evil, well, let's ask the question, what kind of king do we want? Well, we want a good king, right? We want a good king. What kind of king, what kind of rule do we want to live under? Well, God's people, actually in the Old Testament we see, and some in the New Testament, we see that there are two kinds of kings that God has given to the people of Israel. Well, the ancient Israelites, they wanted a king to judge them. They wanted a king to judge them just like all of the nations. In other words, they wanted a king like all the other nations around them had. They wanted to be like the other nations. They had a king that would judge them and fight their battles. So God instructed the prophet Samuel to warn the people. He said, listen, I'm not really sure if you want a king. He wanted to warn the people and to show them the ways of the king who was going to reign over them. He actually said he had a list of things Samuel gave. Samuel had a list of things that the king would do. He said, he's going to use your sons to protect himself in battle. He'll take your daughters to be his bakers and his cooks. He'll take your property to enrich your friends. He'll tax you to advance the wealth of his servants. And in summary, you're going to be the king's slaves, is what God told the people of Israel. Now, Israel's desire for an earthly king, their desire for a king just like everybody else had, was actually a rejection of God as their king. You see, it didn't matter that God had saved Israel out of the land of Egypt, had actually brought them through 40 years in the wilderness into that promised land. The Israelites still rejected God so that they could be ruled by other gods. But God's purpose was to give Israel a different kind of king. He wanted to give them a king who would rule over them with God's own mercy, with God's grace. So, after the first king of Israel, Saul, God raised up David and said to him, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. So God raised up this shepherd boy, and he made him to be king. This lowly shepherd boy, he didn't take one of the bigwigs in the country. He took this lowly shepherd boy and made him a king. And that's how God works. God raises up. He exalts the humble. The kingdom of David, David's kingdom itself, would actually be blessed by the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. The steadfast love of God, which he would never depart from. That's how God acts. He not only exalts the humble, he actually blesses the humble. Now, the temple in Jerusalem was going to be the sign of this king in the place of God's everlasting love and everlasting blessing. So David's son Solomon is tapped to build the temple. Solomon shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. See, God himself would be king over Israel. That was his plan. He was going to be king over Israel, and he would actually dwell with Israel through the earthly Davidic king and in the temple. But even with all that, as in the days of Samuel, Israel repeatedly defiled the house of God, repeatedly and God's holy name. Repeatedly defiled God's house and his holy name through idolatry and wickedness. And so what God did is he gave Israel wicked and idolatrous kings. Kings of their first kind, the kind that they had originally asked for. And then he gave them over to be conquered by Babylon and Assyria and then eventually Rome. See, and what happened was the defiled house of God became a mockery of God. And the enslaved people of Israel, because the enslaved people of Israel, well, they surely are showing us that God is powerless. He's not as powerful as all these others. Still, from his people's slavery to these earthly kings, God actually promised to act once more, to give them the king of the second kind. From the very depths of the humility of divine mercy, God would raise up a humble king. And the humble king, he would come from a humble town in Micah 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, Ephrathah means little one. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. A humble man from a humble town. And this humble king would be a true Davidic king going on in Micah 5. And he shall stand and shepherd God's flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Remember that shepherd imagery that God showed? He raised that shepherd boy up, David, to be king. And here we see that imagery that this is going to be a king like David, only better. And this humble king would bring peace, for he himself would be Israel's peace. Again in Micah 5, and Israel shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. So indeed he would come to God. This king would come into his temple, and he would purify his priests and his people. And through this humble king, God would again be the God of a humble people. See, here then is God's king, the king of the second kind, the king after God's own heart. This is the king for you. I mean, you probably know who I'm talking about. It's Jesus. He's that new. He's that humble king. Born there in Bethlehem, in the city of David, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the sign of this king is going to be, what? A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You couldn't find more humble circumstances for a baby. And yet this humble child is the reality of heavenly peace here on earth. The angels of heaven even announce it when they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This Davidic king comes to his royal city and he comes to his house as a humble king. And he's riding on the foal of a donkey. Yes, absolutely, he is the king. And he's going to judge his temple. He will weep over the city's rejection, but he's also the kind of king who will not only be asking for a sacrifice. This king will be the sacrifice to save this city of Jerusalem, to save all mankind. The true sacrifice, of course, as it says in Psalm 51, is a broken and contrite heart that implores God for his forgiveness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. You see, Jesus, the true king, he will actually give himself into death as that sacrifice. Remember the last words from the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In his humble sacrifice, in this contrite heart. See, Jesus himself has that contrite heart. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And in that, Jesus establishes a new Jerusalem, a new temple. And in this new temple, instead of inviting Jesus to worship with us, he invites us to worship with him, to worship God as a humble people. Because we are washed thoroughly through the blood of the true King, we are made ready to cry to him and invite him to come into the temple of our own hearts. Again from Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In faith then, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the voice of a humble spirit, we join the Jerusalem throng of old, crying out when we see Jesus coming in on this colt, on this foal of a donkey. We cry out, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When we rejoice in the King's coming in both his body and his blood in the Lord's Supper. The words of the Sanctus say it, right? Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So what kind of king do you want? What kind of king do we want? What kind of rule do we want to live under? Well, by faith, we know that we want to unite our hearts with the throne of the King and so become God's throne here on earth. Not that we are all gods, don't get me wrong, but worship our Lord at the throne. And he dwells within us through his Spirit, through the love of God, through his promises to us, and as we go out and spread the great news of his coming in this world. So join to this humble king by faith. We share in his humility, and we share in his love for one another. In his name, amen and amen.